Now we turn to what is normally our regular feature during this time. That's our Daily Roundtable. Joining us today from KPFT in Houston, Jeffrey Johnson, host and producer of the Jeff Johnson Chronicles on BET. Joining us from Chicago, our Chicago bureau there, Don Turner Trice, reporter and columnist with the Chicago Tribune. And Michael Myers joins us from New York City. Michael is executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. All right, folks, we wanted to talk a little bit about what Reverend Sharpton just said there. And I was in attendance yesterday at the funeral, and many of you watched it on television around the country. The idea that much of what we heard from the podium and the pulpit was the idea that we really do need to kickstart, Jeff, Black America, and making sure that we continue a living legacy of what Rosa Parks and others began. And that's the idea of activism, agitating, if you will, and making sure that we follow through on the gains we've received to this point. Do you believe that's going to happen?
I do, in a sense, and you know, at this time, I think from the spiritual side, the preacher in me comes out. And it reminds me of the book of Joshua, where the Lord comes to Joshua and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And what this really signifies in so many ways, Ed, is really also a changing of the guard, where I think young people are going to be inspired by the legacy of Rosa, and I think begin to organize on another level. And I think in many cases, that's where the focus needs to be. So it's not just about hoping that it happens, but many of us need to be diligent in encouraging the creation of institutions and utilizing the NAACP and Urban League, who already have young people that are a part of them, and to engage young people on the ground in local communities to help institutionalize the work that they do. Because if we don't institutionalize it, then we're going to continue to hope that it happens instead of being deliberate about making it happen.
Don Turner Trice, what I found most interesting while the proceedings turned a bit too political for me at times, for a funeral or for a celebration. I would have liked to have seen it maybe stay a little bit to that side. Speakers did use it as an opportunity to shake people, including themselves. We heard the Reverend Sharpton challenge, even admonish some of his colleagues to do even more. We heard Minister Louis Farrakhan suggest that there was more need for unity amongst the troops. Do you think that those who should have been listening, those who either tout themselves or are legitimate leaders in our community, do you think they'll hear this?
I think that they will hear it. Now, there's a difference between hearing it and actually doing something about it. One of the things that I think about when I hear the name Rosa Parks, I mean, clearly a woman of great courage, but also the Montgomery bus boycott. It lasted for 381 days. People carpooled, but not everybody had cars. People walked for miles and miles. They were threatened and they were taunted. And I began to wonder if there are things, I mean, any of us, whether celebrities or politicians, civil rights leaders, regular people, I mean, are there things that we are willing to inconvenience ourselves for today? And I think that's what this comes down to. Are we willing to give up from the little iPods, email, I mean, on the trivial level, are we willing to bring someone into our homes or even to that degree? And I think that that there was a generation that believed that it was necessary to inconvenience themselves in order to move forward. And that's the question, I think, that's the larger question here. What are we willing to inconvenience ourselves for?
Michael Myers, pick up on that point. If you juxtapose today's leadership with the leadership of days gone by, we understand that generals, including during the Civil Rights era, always argued about the best way to implement the fight and the like. But as Don suggests, the soldiers played a key role and were willing to fight the war. One of the things that was talked about as Detroit is a little less now than a week away from its mayoral election is that the first election, the primaries for that, only 20% turned out to even bother to vote. When you look at these numbers, and you can look across the country and see that, and this is in a majority Black city, some will say, as Don is suggesting there, that the soldiers may not have the fight in them anymore.
Well, I think it's an error, if not a myth, to look at this as a look back on civil rights as a civil rights era. We are in a civil rights era. with the Supreme Court, vacancies with the Supreme Court, which is so important to the decisions with respect to civil liberties and civil rights. We must see ourselves in a constant movement, constant struggle for civil rights enforcement and equal protection of the law. Look, this was an imitation of life type funeral, including a horse-drawn carriage. Rosa Parks, there was something ironic in my judgment, something ironic about a woman of quiet dignity and quiet strength being sent home by shouting preachers coming in the name of the Lord. Rosa Parks, by the way, Dennis Archer, was not just a woman who got tired on a city bus in Montgomery, Alabama in 1955. She was then NAACP secretary in the Montgomery, Alabama branch. She was the youth advisor to the youth of the NAACP in Montgomery, Alabama. She practiced that day what she was preaching. So she was an activist all along.
Right. And I don't think Dennis Archer, Michael, meant by any means to suggest the myth.
Understand.
Hang on, let me clear it up.
The myth that
that's one of the things that we've tried to do throughout this week on this program, and I'm so glad that others have done so. The idea that this woman wasn't just tired for the sake of being tired, her feet hurt. That was some of what many were taught in school, that she just all of a sudden was so tired she couldn't get out of that seat and she decided, and she had a long history of fighting.
I'm putting this in the context of civil rights, because in 1954, as Dennis Archer did say, there was a Brown v. Board of Education Supreme Court decision which supposedly outlawed segregation in the public schools. But that's all the Brown decision did. It outlawed segregation in the public schools. It was the rank and file. It was the individual blacks. It was blacks en masse who decided to implement the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution across the board, in transportation, in everything. So that's why Rosa Parks was regarded as the mother of the civil rights movement, because we knew we had to implement the court's decision in other areas other than public schools, but also public schools because of the
Jeff Johnson, speak for your generation, if you will. Do they understand the importance of not only this woman, but the idea that, as Michael Meyer says, that is not a movement that is dead and dormant. It is ongoing, that we've not attained everything that we deserve.
Well, I think no. I think there are people that clearly understand who Rosa was, and some young people, depending on what we're describing as young, understand what she stood for. But I think the civil rights era is dead. I think there are clearly civil rights issues. I mean, as the director of African American Outreach for People for the American Way, I mean, we're addressing issues of the courts. But I think that young people are in a social justice model, and that too often, it's not that the soldiers have no fight in them, it's that we keep looking to decommission soldiers. And so what are the real issues that will mobilize our communities? What are the real issues that organizations can educate people on and train them on? I think that too often organizations like the NAACP do good work, but don't necessarily address the issues that black folks are dealing with. Don't address the challenging issues. One of the characteristics of the civil rights movement was that they addressed issues that people were afraid to talk about, that people were afraid to address. And too often our institutions are now addressing issues that are comfortable. So I think that we would begin to see my generation and even our elders that serve as generals a little bit more diligent and moving with a sense of urgency if we would really do what we claim to do, which is speak truth to power about substantive issues that are killing our people and communities all over this country on a daily basis. And until we see that, we're going to continue to see young people disengage because they're dealing with these issues in their community, but don't necessarily see people mobilizing around them.
Don Turner Trice, I think there's probably some truth between what Jeff said and what I said. While I agree with him, I do think that the soldiers are, if not dead, asleep at the wheel sometimes and aren't willing, as you suggested, to give up some of the comforts that we have gained. While I'm no apologist for any organization, one of the problems, and I was talking with the new leader of the NAACP, as well as Mark Morial, who heads the National Urban League, one of the problems I think these organizations have is the idea of getting out what they're attempting to do and the programs that are already set in place. People aren't going out to find what they can join, what they can organize, what may indeed speak to them.
Absolutely. And you see that membership in a lot of these older organizations, membership is down. And that's because a lot of young people do not see the relevance. They look at this as being old school, and it's no longer something that applies to them. And a lot of young people, I think, believe that we've arrived, or that there is this point, we've reached this point in which we don't necessarily have to look back. Now, I mean, I know that's a generalization, but I think that until there is some effort to coalesce a lot of different ideas, particularly those that are relevant to younger people, whether it is the making sure that they understand why it's important to know what's going on in the Supreme Court and various issues regarding abortion, affirmative action, then we'll continue to see this fracture.
All right, Michael Myers, here's the dangerous part in our abbreviated version of the roundtable. You get the last 40 seconds.
Well, look, I think we can look both backwards and forward. And I think we have to have historical context in moving forward. The problem with these organizations, these older organizations, is that many of them just brain dead. But look at what the President's Medal and the Congressional Medal has done, the NAACP Spingarn Medal has done. They've recognized past achievements. Interesting enough, Rosa Parks, who was poor, by the way, never got the MacArthur Genius Award for her contributions. I say, why not? The MacArthur Genius Award, by the way, comes with cash. Cash. So we deserve activists who are recognized for their genius. And I think we should get active again and make sure that the Supreme Court is going to be responsive to the civil rights movement in this country that is ongoing, not past.
All right. Jeff Johnson, Don Turner Trice, and Michael Myers, thank you so much for being a part of a special roundtable as we continue to look at the life and times of Rosa Parks.
Thank you.